So I'm assuming that Jesus had got the thing on parables. So this is a parable. Jesus talks to his listeners. He's wanting to teach them some important spiritual or moral lesson, or maybe both. But who was he speaking to? Who were his audience? His disciples, yes. But if we look at chapter 14, verse 25, it said, large crowds were following Jesus. And chapter 15, verse 1 says, now tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. So in actual fact, Jesus' audience was everybody, was a mix of society. It was those who were considered outcasts. It was those who felt important and superior. And Jesus had things he wanted each to know. He had lessons for all in this parable. He tells them a story of wealth, poverty, death, heaven and hell. It's all in this parable. This story was to address the issues of the day, of what happens here and now, and not just about what happens after death. You see, the Pharisees believed that if you had plenty, you must have pleased God in some way, and therefore if you've pleased God, then you have a place in heaven. Verse 14 of chapter 16 says, the Pharisees who loved money were sneering at Jesus. If they had wealth, God would bless them, they thought. So it must have given them a bit of a superior attitude, even towards Jesus. If that was their thinking, then it follows that if you're poor, you have offended God. And there's no way you're going to get to heaven. You've brought poverty on yourself, and it's your fault. If you have nothing, you have not pleased God. So, what does that say about their attitude towards the poor? Jesus uses this vivid and in some ways frightening story to draw in all his listeners to show just how much they'd moved away from God and what God wanted. How they've moved away from a loving God who wanted all to be saved. Jesus had come to seek and to save the lost, and for all to be able to get to heaven. Just before this parable, he told this parable of the lost sheep, the lost son, the lost coin, showing us that God's desire is for all to be saved, especially those who had gone astray. God's love and blessing was not just for the wealthy and the well-to-do, but it was for all. So let's look at this story and see how Jesus addressed this issue of the Pharisees. We start with the rich man. How the Pharisees' ears must have pricked up. A very rich man. Only the wealthy. He was dressed in purple. And only the wealthy could afford a purple cloth. Purple dye was very hard to come by, and it was literally worth more than gold. The purple to dye the cloth came from shellfish, and it took 6,000 shellfish to make 1 pound of dye. I thought you might just like to know that. Remember that when you're watching Pointless. It's surprising what you find out when you're preparing a talk. But the thing is, it was only the very wealthy that could be dressed in purple. So he was a very rich man dressed in purple and living in luxury every day. In some versions of the Bible, it says feasting in luxury every day. So he was eating on a grand scale every day. And I'm sure some of Jesus' listeners would have said, wow, that's my kind of a man. But now it's the turn of the poor to be drawn into Jesus' story. We've heard all about the rich man And now we're told at the gate of the rich man's house laid the beggar named Lazarus. Now Lazarus is the only one in all of the parables who is given a name. What does that tell us about Jesus' attitude to the poor? He is covered in sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. If you picture that in your mind, that scene, I'm sure it offends you as it does me. But I wonder if it offended Jesus' audience, if they just come to accept that this is how things were. If they weren't offended, they certainly would have been shocked by the next part of the story. Verse 22. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. Abraham's side was for the children of God, the faithful. I'm sure they thought, did I hear that right? Did he say the poor man went to Abraham's side? Yes, he said, the poor man died and was carried to Abraham's side. Abraham's side was recognized as a place of comfort and happiness. To help us to understand just what that meant, it was like the same feeling as a father gathering up his children in his arms. That's where the poor man had gone, to Abraham's side. But then comes this. We are told in the parable the rich man also died and was buried. Probably a magnificent funeral. It doesn't tell us about Lazarus' funeral. He probably was put on a dump somewhere. But rather than being at Abraham's side as he would have expected, he finds himself in Hades, in torment, in hell. What a shock that would have been for those listening, for the wealthy and the poor. The poor man in heaven, the rich man in torment. But this is a parable, not to be taken too literally, but look for the lessons there. It's about life after death. Yes, it showed us that Jesus really believed, knew that there was life after death. But I don't think this is the only reason Jesus told this story. Jesus wanted his listeners to be aware that the choices we make now have consequences. They affect others, they affect us, and they even affect our eternal destination. That rich man could have so blessed Lazarus and ended his suffering, but he chose to be all wrapped up in himself, feeling he was the one entitled to be waited on. Even in Hades, after death, his attitude hadn't changed. He didn't say he was very sorry for what he'd done. He just expected Lazarus to come and comfort him. Something he had not offered Lazarus in life. He probably didn't hurt Lazarus. He didn't send him away from his gate. Lazarus just didn't concern him. He probably even stopped seeing he was there. The rich man, I'm afraid, didn't concern himself with others or with God. The fact that he lived in luxury every day showed he had stopped concerning himself with God's ways. That's not the way the Israelites were supposed to live. Lazarus, on the other hand, was a man who trusted God. And we know this because of the name that Jesus gave him in this parable. His name means God is my helper. And only those who trusted God ended up in Abraham's presence as he did. The rich man was not in Hades because he was rich. Abraham had been rich, but because he turned his back on God and his ways. And the poor man was not in heaven. Did I say heaven last time or Hades? I said Hades, didn't I? But the poor man was in heaven, not because he was poor, but because he trusted and looked to God, even though life had been very hard. This parable, I'm afraid, doesn't have a happy ending at all. Not for the rich man. He was left in torment. not able to be comforted or warn others what was to come. We are to find lessons within this parable, and the more you look into it, the more lessons there are to learn. It would have really challenged the Pharisees' attitude to money. It would have challenged their attitude to the poor. But what for us today? One thing I've not mentioned yet is the Bible is God's living word. Let's not neglect it, as the rich man and his brothers had done. It's obvious that the rich man and his brothers had stopped looking at God's word and letting it speak to them, because in the parable we're told they had the prophets, Abraham and the prophets, and they'd stopped listening. So they'd neglected God's word. Let us not be guilty of doing that, of neglecting God's word. Let us read the Bible and let it speak to us. This parable teaches us that the decisions we make, the life we choose to lead, affects us, and even affects our eternal destination. We need to be sure we are heading to that place of safety and love. And there's only one way we can do that, and that's by coming to know and following Jesus. That's the way to that place of safety and security. There's only one way, by committing ourselves, submitting to, making Jesus our Lord and Saviour. Jesus says to his disciples, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I will come back and take you to be with me. So we need to make sure we've made that choice and we know where we're heading. This parable also tells us that we are to be compassionate people, to see the needs of those around us, not to be like the rich man, and to not even see when people are in need. To help wherever we can, as God gives us the opportunity. Quite a hard-hitting parable, isn't it? Lots to learn from it. But I just want to end with some words from Matthew 25. Words that give us the very best reason for being compassionate people. Not because we ought to, not because we want to earn a place in heaven or anything like that, but I'll let the Bible reading speak to us about that. This is it. Then the righteous will answer me, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, whatever you did for the least of my brothers and sisters, you did for me. Amen. And now I think we sing the new song. It's time to sing the new song.